Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Meaning, generously sponsored by our dear friends Marilyn and Michael Fedak. We're so grateful for their generosity. Please help yourself to the Reb Shaila station, coffee, or slushy, or pastry. It's wonderful to have you here. So back to Tanya. We're in the middle of Perek Gimel of Tanya. And just to tell you how much Tanya is on my mind, when I was just in Eretz Yisrael this summer, I was at the mall, and I went to order a coffee, and they had three sizes of cups. And the, what it's called, the barista, who makes coffee? What's the fancy name? Barista. The barista. I don't know if they call that in Israel. But the woman behind the counter in the mall in Israel, she said, would you like a Benoni? Which size do you want? And I turned to her and I said, Halavai Benoni. And she looked at me and she said, what? I said, yes, Benoni, please. So anyway, Tanya on the mind, Halavai Benoni, the Sefer HaBenonim, Halavai that we qualify, Halavai that we can be called, Halavai that we're worthy of being Benonim, whether you're ordering a coffee or you're living life, Halavai Benoni. We're simply trying to be a Benoni. We're in the middle of Perek Gimel. We spoke about first, what is the animal soul? Then we spoke about what is the godly soul, the different components that comprise every Tzelem Elohim of who we are, this tension, this battle, the animal inside us that we're not trying to slaughter or obliterate or purge, the animal that we're trying to train and elevate, the godly soul and the multiple parts that the godly soul is made up of. We spoke about the 10 spheros. We talk about the intellect and control the emotion, and that's where we left off in the middle of Perek Gimel, which is where do feelings come from? When we talk about the feelings, awe and fear of Hashem, love of Hashem, we talk about the feelings we have interpersonally with one another, and of course, most significantly, between us and Hashem. Where do those feelings come from? Feelings in Torah, in Yiddishkeit, feelings are not just ephemeral, they're not ill-defined, they're not just what swells up inside us, they're not things that are just feelings that can't be put into words or can't be described. Genuine, real feelings, authentic feelings, meaningful feelings, productive feelings emanate from the intellect. They begin from a place of thought, and they're translated and expressed, they manifest then through feeling. And it's so important, to realize that this is a basis in the Tanya, because a movement in a world who think that you fabreng, and you drink, and you feel good, and you emote, but there's nothing happening up here, it's all about using whatever substances, using whatever physical, material things, delicious food, beverage, in order to be able to just feel and emote and sing and dance and laugh and love. Those are all wonderful feelings, but they have to begin, they have to be nurtured, they have to be seated in the intellect. The divine soul's intellect, which is the power to understand all things, nikra b'shem chachma, koach ma. We began this last time. Chachma is the first. Chachma, bina, and das. Chabad. The Baal HaTanya is introducing this philosophy, this worldview, this paradigm, this existence, this identity. Chabad is not the name of an organization that puts tefillin on people and make sure you have kosher food wherever you go. Chabad is chachma, bina, and das. It's a worldview. It's an identity. And chachma, the first, because these aren't simply synonyms, chachma is koach ma. It is a fusion of the two words, a contraction of koach, the power, the potential of ma, of inquisitiveness, of curiosity, of asking what. Chachma is the power to say, what is this? I want to understand more. I've been exposed to, I have some spark of light, some flash of light, that something's happening here. Chachma is the koach, it is the power of potential of living a life of ma. I want to know the wisdom and the being wise enough to say what's really happening, what's the depth, what's the profundity, what's going on over here. I was talking to Rabbi Volvovsky this morning. He was talking, we call chachma a zakin, is that kind of chachma? A chacham is somebody, a zakin is somebody who's reached the ripe old age who doesn't say, I know everything, I have all the answers, I'm good to go. To be a zakin, to be a wise elder, is to have acquired zekana chachma. Is that no matter how old you are, no matter what you've experienced, no matter how much you've read, no matter how much you've learned, you're still asking the koach of ma. You're still curious. You're still inquiring. You still want to know. I thought a talmud chacham, we call an expert a talmud chacham, a talmud chacham, koach ma. The expert is the person who doesn't say, I've achieved perfection and expertise, I'm done. I'm the authority. What makes someone an expert in Yiddishkeit? What makes someone a gadol, a great in Yiddishkeit? What makes someone a talmud chacham that we admire and attach ourselves to in Yiddishkeit and Torah is that they have chachma, a talmud chacham. They still have the koach of ma. Koach is potential, like min hakoach el hapoel, the potential that is in ma. Ukshemotzi koach el hapoel, shemizbonim b'sichel lovin davar l'ashur l'amko, through meditating in the mind to clarify an idea, its full richness and its depth, mitoch eza davar chachma amusko b'sichel nikra bina. So chachma is the koach mas. Koach chachma is, I have a flash of light that says there's something here. There's godliness here. There's wisdom here. There's something here. It's that flash of light. Now the analysis, the boundaries, the borders, the contemplativeness to understand, to give the cognition, what's happening here, that's called bina. Bina is lahavin davar mitoch davar, to analyze, to compare, to contrast, to try to go. The classic example of this, or metaphor for this is, chachma is, I want to build a building. This is a great spot, this is a great piece of land, a great property, we want to expand, we want to build a building, that's chachma. Bina is, what are the architectural plans? And then da'as is, the materials, and the details, and how we're going to make it happen. These mental processes of Chachma and Bina are the father and mother that give birth to love of God, awe of God, and fear of God. You can't wake up in the morning, you can't have a few l'chaims and say, oh, I have such Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. It begins not with a few l'chaims. It begins not with some feelings that well up inside you. It begins not through a kumzitz or a fabrengen or a tish. I love and I enjoy and invite me to every one of those things. But it begins in the chachma and bina that then translate and express and manifest in the feelings. The feelings have to be born. Hein av ve'em hamolidos. Rabbi Steinsaltz, in his commentary, won't get into it. He has pages and pages. Talk about these are the father and mother. Their interrelationship and interaction resembles between a father and a mother in procreation. Bina receives from chachma. Chachma is the father provides the seed, the nucleus, the bina, the mother develops into a many-faceted entity, the koma shlema. He develops exactly the metaphor and the parallel in procreation and conception. A father, a mother, what they contribute, how conception happens, how gestation occurs, are the union, the fusion of chachma and bina that give birth to genuine feelings. So the feelings have to be founded in cognition and the intellect in a chachma and a bina. They can't come, they don't simply come on their own. Again, he has pages and pages and it's worth seeing. But those are the authentic feelings, not fleeting feelings, not feelings that disappear as soon as you sober up from the fabrengen, but a feeling that really transforms you, a feeling that really lasts, is the feeling that the Baal HaTanya describes is born through the chachma and the bina, the procreation process that gives birth to that genuine and that real and that lasting and that true feeling that comes from that combination of the chachma and the bina. He also describes, Rabbi Steinsaltz has a beautiful description and metaphor, chachma absorbs the full picture in a flash. This picture includes a full array of objects and relations, but as a single indivisible point. The picture perceived by chachma is unintelligible. Intellect, in the common sense of the word, begins with bina. The difference between chachma and bina is analogous to the difference between sight and hearing, writes Rabbi Steinsaltz. Sight takes in the entire picture, all the details in a single instant, right? So when you see the panorama of the room or of the picture. There's chairs, there's tables, there's people, there's a camera, there's a microphone, there's a clock we're not paying attention to. There's a lot that's going on in the room, and you see it all as one indivisible, one picture. Hearing is very different. Hearing cannot grasp a thing as a singular, all-inclusive whole, only as a series of points presented in a specific order and structure. If you're all talking at once, it just creates a lot of noise. Hearing has to be honed in, focused, one by one. By the same token, chachma is the mind's direct sight of a concept, the all-embracing picture of all of its principles and particulars. The picture then passes from chachma by the way of the 32 paths of wisdom that tell the story to bina. Bina not only receives its information secondhand, receives it in a form that is essentially different from the manner of chachma's reception, as a stream of particles rather than a snapshot image. So chachma is like sight, and bina is like hearing, is like sound. Obviously, there's a lot here. Every line of Tanya, every parak, could take us a lifetime. We're not making much progress, but we at least aspire to. So that's why we're not going to go more into its depth. But weiter a little bit in the Tanya, we really want to finish up or head towards finishing up the third parak. So in order to have genuine, really lasting, transformational feelings, they have to begin in meditations, the intellect, cognition. And these meditations are about the greatness and the majesty of Hashem. It's the picture of a cosmos, of a world, of a creator, that then through Bina is honed in, through analysis, through concepts, through understanding. When the cognitive powers of your divine soul focus deeply on the greatness of Hashem, and here are the three things it should focus on, says the Baal HaTanya. Number one, that all existence is saturated with Hashem. This comes from a Zohar, that He fills all worlds. He's Sovev Kol Olmim. Hashem fills all of existence. There's no place empty of Him. Number two, how all existence is engulfed in God. He transcends all worlds. Sovev Kol Olmim. And number three, V'kula Kame Kla Chashiv. In His presence, everything is zero. So Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, His existence is saturated with Hashem. All of existence is engulfed in God, and existence is voided by God, meaning there can be nothing but Him. He is so great, so omnipresent, so omnipotent, He has to constrict Himself to enable and allow there to be space for us. But in truth and in essence, we're the matrix. In truth and in essence, we're an illusion. Really, all there is Him. He allows the space for this illusion to exist, this image of in His imagination to exist. But in His presence, everything is nothing. So when a person contemplates those three things, if you meditate about those three things, if you look at the world and you feel every breeze and watch the rustle of every leaf and you hear every sound and you engage every experience and you encounter every seeming coincidence and you see through the glasses, the prism of those three things, that all existence is saturated with Hashem, that all existence is engulfed in Hashem, and that there is nothing but Hashem, then if you contemplate those three things, then is born Noldav in His Ora, born and aroused a reverence of Hashem's majesty, the Yiras HaRomamus, Lira Lizboshes Migdulasa Yisbarach, to revere God and to feel shame in the presence of His greatness, She'en La Sof V'Tachlas, which is without limit. Hashem is the Or Ein Sof, He is the limitless light. He doesn't have a beginning, He doesn't have an end, He's all powerful, He's all omnipotent, He is all of existence, He's everything. And when you think about that, you recoil and you realize, I am nothing. I thought I'm something. I thought I work, I achieve, I build, I earn, I do, I speak, I say, I think. I'm someone, I'm something, I have a family. I'm nothing. And you recoil with a very healthy yira. Now there are two types of yira, which the Baal HaTanya is going to get into. There's yiras haromimus, and yira of onesh, which is called pachad. We use that same word yira, and we ordinarily translate yira as fear. In some ways, it's a mistranslation, because the higher level of yira is not fear, but it's awe. Awe. It's a word that's been corrupted, the word awesome. Everything and everyone is awesome, and if everything's awesome, then nothing is awesome. Because something truly awesome is awe-inducing, it's awe-inspiring. You feel a sense of awe, you get goosebumps. You're in the presence of greatness. You experience something great. You're in awe. You're in awe. I had the privilege to be in the Swiss Alps early this summer. And Lahavdil, much holier and more beautiful to be in Eretz Yisrael later this summer, to be in the Holy Israel. See sights of Tveria down from the Golan. You're filled with awe. Wow. Ein sur ke elokeinu, ein sayar ke elokeinu. There is no rock like God. Chazal say ein sayar. There's no artist like God. He's the ultimate, the greatest artist. And you feel this sense of awe, and a real awe makes you feel small, makes you retreat, and makes you recoil because you're in the presence of greatness. That's awe, that's awe. There's also the yira that's pachad, that's fear of Hashem, that He's in charge, He's in control, He's the judge, He's the police, shoftim v'shotrim, and He has expectations of me, and He holds me accountable, and if I don't perform and I don't live up to them, I'm in trouble, there's a consequence. So I have some of us still feel every time a policeman passes you on the highway. Ooh, a police, a cop. Uh-oh. So that's not an awe. You can be in awe of the police. You don't even know that particular police person, that policeman. But you might see the lights in the car and say, I have a healthy pachad right now. That's a fear of a cop. If you're going the speed limit, maybe you don't feel that. If you have a heavy foot, maybe you feel it a little bit more. But that's a pachad. So the higher level is the sense of awe. So when you contemplate and you see the world through these two things, Hashem fills all of existence, He is all of existence, and there is nothing but Him, and you see the world through that. You see events unfold, you see nature, you see history, you see your own life through the hashkacha, the providence, that His interaction with us, then you feel this awe, this yiras haromamus, upachar Hashem belibo, and following the intellectual experience of reverence, if you meditate on reverence, then not only do you feel awe and the goosebumps of the greatness of Hashem, then you say, uh-oh, pachad. Am I living up to his expectations? Am I accountable for my actions? You feel a healthy, healthy sense of pachad. And then, after you feel awe, then you have a good, healthy fear, and then you feel love. Your heart will be ignited with rapturous love. Ava aza kirishpe esh, like a flaming fire. This is language borrowed from Shir HaShirim, from Shlomo HaMelech. Like a flaming fire. A love and drawn close to Hashem like a flaming fire. This is the awe. We're living in a time we are awe-deprived. Awe-deprived. Research shows the capacity to feel awe is really important. It makes people more empathetic and generous and kind and humble. Awe is an emotional response to something that's vast and great. And we, in the information age, and it's only getting worse. We who have terabytes of information at our fingertips. We who through speech recognition can tell our car to come pull up and pick us up. We who now have AI and can create anything in a moment. We're less impressed and less filled with awe of anything. And that's having a terrible, terrible detrimental effect on us. And we need awe. We need awe of awesome things and awesome people, and we need awe ultimately of Hashem to find our place in the universe. It's so critically, critically important, and it's missing, dangerously missing. And it begins, again, with the intellect, with the meditating, with Chachma and the Bina, that then translates into the Yiras Haromos, that sense of awe. I'll just end by telling you this story. I once wrote this article. The home of the great composer Ludwig van Beethoven has been preserved. It serves as a museum in Bonn, Germany. And one of the historical gems in the museum that was his home is his piano, Beethoven's piano, where he composed most of his works. It's estimated to be worth more than $50 million, and it's roped off in that museum. I've never been there. But the story told about a group of students from Vassar College who were visiting this Beethoven museum. And one of the students came into the room and was so tempted, couldn't help it, slipped the museum guard, some money to say, could I play it for a moment? And the guard allowed himself to be influenced by the generous tip and let the young woman be on the ropes for a few moments. And she sat at the piano and she knocked out some bars of Moonlight Sonata. And when she finished, her classmates applauded. And it was great. She had played both Beethoven's piano, right? As she stepped back through the ropes, the young woman asked the guard, I suppose over the year, the great pianists that have come here have played the piano. I suppose I just followed so many of the great pianists who played Beethoven's piano. And the guard replied, actually, no, miss. In fact, just 2 years ago, I was standing in this very place when Paderewski visited the museum. He was accompanied by the director of the museum, the international press, who had all come in the hope that he would play the piano. When he entered the room, he stood over there where your friends are standing. He gazed at the piano in silent contemplation for 15 minutes. The director of the museum invited him to play the piano, but with tears welling in his eyes, he declined, saying he wasn't worthy to even touch it. And you look at the contrast. A person who has no idea really the greatness of Beethoven or his works has no problem playing around on his piano. But the more intellect, the more understanding, the more knowledge, the more chachma, the more bina you have, the more you recoil and say, I'm unworthy. I'm filled with such awe. I'm filled with such awe. And that story, that anecdote, really is a description of the challenge of our time and our generation. What the Baal HaTanya is telling us and encouraging us is that we need awe of Hashem, and that Yiras HaRom is that awe is born, it's conceived and then born in the meditative process of the intellect, in Chachma and in Bina. And then that translates into Ava, which then results in Chashika v'chefitza u'teshuka. We're aflame with fervor and desire and longing. Ligdulas ein sof baruch menefesh shokeka ligdulas ein sof baruch hu, a craving soul for the greatness of that light. So it's not a feeling that comes out of nowhere. It's certainly not a feeling that comes only by having a lechayim or singing a great song. Those things enhance and they're beautiful and they're nothing wrong. And I want to reiterate before you send me and bombard me with emails. I love, I attend, I host, I go, I live off of those tishes and fabrengens and getting together. But it can't be superficial. And it can't be fake, and it can't be counterfeit. For it to be genuine, authentic, and real, the Baal HaTanya writes, it has to be born through the fusion, the procreation of Chochmah and Bina, the meditative process of the intellect of Chochmah and Bina, giving birth to the Yiras HaRomamos, to that pachad, to that ava, that then lights us on fire. The soul in us wanting to draw close to the light and the place from which it comes, to the point of close hanefesh, which we'll get up to, we'll pick up with next week, and we'll finish Amir Tzashem Perek Gimel. Have a great day. It should be a day we hear Besoros Tovos, Yeshuas, Venechamos.